Are you a pastor or leader who wants to make a difference? Are you willing to commit to the long term in your ministry? Come along on a journey of endurance with Alan and Trent. Welcome to Endure, building churches and leaders that last.
Well, we want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast on a very special episode today, because it's not just Trent and I. Trent, we've been friends for a long time. We have a lot of ministry experience, but we're going to add someone with a little bit less formal ministry experience. Trent, tell us who that is today.
Today we have a special guest of my daughter, Jackie, and she has been in ministry her whole life, so she doesn't know how to not be in ministry, I guess. And I've been very proud. She's been involved in the ministry in their BCM while she's been in college and stuff. So, Jackie, welcome.
Hello, I'm Jackie. I just graduated from SWASU in Weatherford, Oklahoma. As I said, I'm Trent's daughter, and I really don't know what my life would be like without being a pastor's kid at this point.
You're just like my kids. They really don't know life outside of ministry, and I guess that's kind of a blessing and a curse, isn't it?
Certainly. Sometimes there are days where I would rather not be seen by everybody, seen as, hey, that's Pastor So-and-so's kid, rather than, hey, that's Jackie. But it does have its pros.
Well, and sometimes it's cons, right? But
yeah.
And it's interesting, Alan, I know that you've got two daughters as well, and I've got a son and daughter, and so we've noticed too that personalities are different, and that affects the way that you deal with ministry as well. So we're going to talk about a lot of things today. I will tell you that the notes that we're going to kind of go through and we'll make available to you on our enduringchurches.com website, these were all done by Jackie. And so she has some things that we're going to try to talk through today. If you are a parent that is in ministry, we want these to be, I guess, encouraging and help you to think through these things as you deal with a child. And if you are a PK or an MK, or, you know, if your parents are involved in ministry, we want you to understand that there are folks that know what you're going through, and we want to encourage you too.
Well, you know, Trent, one of the things that, you know, when I think about a pastor's kids, I've heard a lot of pastor kids say, I don't ever want to go back to church. And I think that's always just a super huge tragedy. It's certainly something that we don't want to see. But ministry can kind of take a toll at times. But then on the other side, we often see, too, kids want to follow their parents in ministry. And so, you know, there's no exact science about it. You could have two kids in the same family with the same experiences, and they each go in different directions with that.
Yeah. So, Jackie, I'm curious what your thoughts are about that. Were there ever times when you, because you've been involved in ministry and maybe you've seen the seedy underbelly of it all, have there been times when you didn't want to be involved in ministry?
I don't know if there were times where I didn't want to be involved at all, but there were certainly days where I didn't want to go do what I was being told to do. Sometimes I'm a little stubborn, something that we've talked about as a family a lot. I just feel like the biggest difference in when I wanted to be involved versus when I didn't necessarily want to go to something was whether or not I was asked. Sometimes there's just the expectation, oh, we're having VBS, you're going to be part of VBS, and I'm not even going to ask.
Right.
The term that we've come up with as a family and in our ministries has been voluntold. You're not asked to do something, you're volunteered without being told about it sometimes. You're told right after the fact.
Yeah, we use that in our family, and it's... Yeah, it's sometimes it's like it's not fair, right? That I'm being volunteered without my permission.
Yeah. Because there's certainly it's good to have your kids involved in your ministry. You want them to learn what it means to be helpful and to minister to people. But it's something that you can't force them to do. You have to teach them why they would want to. How it can make you feel good to be helpful, how you can feel closer to God, things like that.
So Jackie, do you remember maybe the first time that you ever felt like you were being forced to do something in church that you didn't really want to be a part of, but you were kind of forced to do that?
The biggest example would probably be, it doesn't sound big, but it's the one that happened most often, was, here, will you hand this out before the service? Will you hand out this flyer to everybody? And I'm an introvert and I'm kind of shy and I don't want to go talk to everybody. But then everybody wants to talk to the person handing things out and you have to make eye contact with everybody. And I didn't want to do that as a, 10-year-old.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, and that's probably something that, you know, as more extroverted people that Trent and I wouldn't have even thought about when we were, you know, when he asked you or when I asked my kids to do something like that, it's probably not even something that we consciously thought of because, oh, this is nothing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and this, I guess I really want to encourage parents too, as you're hearing this, because Jackie and Zach are very opposites. And I'm assuming, and I kind of think that Corey and Sydney, Alan's daughters, are kind of opposite personalities too. Think through this, you know, because Alan's right. I didn't think about it. I'm pretty extroverted and I'm like, hey, that's no big deal. But for somebody who's extroverted, that's a big deal, isn't it, Jackie?
Yeah. And I suppose that's a large part of what this talk is about, is just get to know your kids, talk to them. Don't just expect them to do things, but figure out what they like to do in ministry, what they aren't comfortable with, what they might need help with, things like that.
Right. And so one of the things you have down here is teaching them. And that really happens before everybody else gets there, probably, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because when something is sprung on you while people are already there, then you have no choice. And you have to do it, but maybe you don't know how to do it. You don't know how to run words, or you don't know how to pass the offering plate, whatever it is.
Well, and I think that's one of the little things, is that oftentimes in church, we assume that people know how to do stuff. And not only for kids, for our own kids, but all the kids in our church, we want to teach them to be involved and we want to teach them to serve and have a role to do that. One of the other things you have in here is that we should ask for permission. What all do you mean there?
It's mostly that you have to remember that kids are people too. Sometimes in society, we just forget that our kids have opinions. They have things that are hard boundaries for them. And if we don't ask them about them, then we can violate that. And that leads into, like you guys were talking before, when kids don't want to be involved in ministry because they feel resentment towards some part of it. And a lot of that can sometimes be just they weren't ever asked.
And I think that's a great thought. And I thank you for sharing that, because it's certainly a reminder. And I probably should have had that in my ear more often, you know, as my kids were growing up. So you moved us along here. You talk about God, family, and then church and prioritizing. Tell us a little bit more about that.
It can be really hard sometimes to separate church from God, because God is in church and church is vital to being a Christian. We've talked a lot about at Patterson that you can't be a Christian by yourself. But at the same time, as a pastor or some other ministry leader, you don't have set boundaries between church time and family time, and it can bleed over into things. And one thing that we talked about as a family is when we wanted to have vacation versus when we wanted to have a mission trip, and we decided they needed to be separate.
Our son, Zach, got tired of every time his birthday came around, we were on a mission trip. He's like, could I just have a birthday without a mission trip sometime? And it's like, mission trips are cool, but yeah, you need family time too. Talk a little bit more about the, you know, especially if you're a dad, if you're a pastor listening to this and understanding that you need to have some time to get away, and some time that is just family time without it bleeding over into church time. Alan, as you and I are both dads and pastors in this, how do we do that?
Well, you know, I love one of the things she has in there. Don't breed resentment in your own family by scheduling the church over the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one of the most important elements that we need to remember. One of the early mistakes I made, and I'm glad it was my oldest daughter's first birthday. And so we've got all these family in town. It's this big to do. And about halfway through the cake and ice cream in our little town of 100 people, here comes the ambulances. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? And I leave the birthday party to go see if I need to check on my flock.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one of those moments I kick myself over and over again because I wasn't smart enough to think if I was needed, someone would come get me. My church looked at me, you know, as a farming community, and these people were really good about putting family first. And they looked at me like I was the biggest idiot in the world for doing that. And yeah, the truth is, I probably was. I shouldn't have done that. So it's important to you know, make family central.
Yeah. And Jackie, give me your thoughts on this too. If that were to happen, if it were necessary to leave a family event, how should a mom or dad handle that? What should happen?
First of all, I want to clarify that as kids, we do understand that emergencies happen, that our dads and our moms will have to leave sometimes, even if it is a big event like a birthday party. And we don't resent you for that. But what could be a problem is not communicating about it. Please say, hey, I have to leave real quick. I'll be back, and do come back. And talking with your kids just on a regular basis about I'm needed and sometimes I will have to be gone. It's nice to have the heads up, I guess.
You said to come back. And I'm thinking, too, there may be times where we have to say, hey, you know, I can't be there now, but I'm going to make it up by having some time just for us. And I know, Jackie, you and I have gotten to have some father-daughter dates, and I've enjoyed those. And hopefully that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Those were some of my favorite times growing up, is having one-on-one time with dad and one-on-one time with mom, just so that we could talk about whatever was going on, either in the ministry or in day-to-day life, school things. Okay. It's good to have that strong relationship going on all the time so that when emergencies happen, it's not the end of everything, because that was my one time with mom and dad.
You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I got to take my oldest daughter, and even though she's married and all those kinds of things, I got to take her, and we had a daddy-daughter date and just went fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent the day fishing together. And, you know, it was fun because we could think back to some of the times growing up when she and I would go fishing. She's kind of my fisher person, and she just loves it. And so we just had a wonderful time spending that day together. And those are moments that you don't want to miss out on.
That's for sure. You know, as we're talking through this and the things about being voluntold and taking time away from your family, it just keeps popping up in my head that all the time we're teaching our kids about the Father. And so what are we saying to our kids about our Heavenly Father when we voluntold them, when we don't give them a choice, when we tell everybody else in our church that you need to choose to follow Jesus, when they don't get a choice, or they don't get a choice on mom and dad are running away to go help other people when they're in need too. So I really, does that make sense to y'all, Jackie and Alan?
Yeah, it does.
I don't think anyone prepared me for raising kids who were pastor's kids. You know, when I go back to that, I'm like, you know, I mean, if I knew then what I know now, there are certain things I would have done different. There's other things that I think, hey, you know, I wasn't so bad at that. You know, my younger daughter and I, we got to spend a lot of extra time together because I started coaching and she became one of my first kids to coach. And so we got to spend a lot of time in the car and on events together. And, you know, it kind of changed the dynamic of our relationship. But, you know, it's important, you know, Your kids need to know certain things. And fortunately, Jackie's given us a wonderful list And these are going to be in your notes. And these are things that I think are really important. And I want you to explain them to us, Jackie, because I think they'll help us out. You said that your kids want you to know that they're human. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's the old sayings that like pastor kids are angels or pastor's kids are demons and they're rebels and they're awful. But we're just normal human beings. We have our ups and downs. We can be the wonderful children that you dream of sometimes, but sometimes we do have our issues. We're still going to sin. We're still going to go off and do stupid things, but we need a little grace about it. Don't just jump on your kids because, oh, you're held to a higher standard. We know that, but we would like some love about it.
I think that's certainly fair enough. To consider that, you know, my wife growing up was a minister's kid. And that's one of the things that she appreciated about her dad was that he didn't put goofy expectations on her that way. You also say that you need us. What do you mean by that?
We are still kids. And kids need their parents. They need direction and support and they need you to be around.
As you're saying that, Jackie, I guess it's just a reminder to me that, you know, and it doesn't seem to, that's not a thing that ends, right? Jackie, you're still, you like to have that relationship. I'm assuming, I hope so.
Yes, I am home for the summer, enjoying my time with my parents and relying on them a lot, not just for housing and food, but I'm applying for some jobs this week and it's been very stressful for me. I'm not so good at phone calls sometimes and I'm having to make a lot of them, but mom and dad have been here to calm me down, to talk through what I need to do next and all those things. And it means a lot.
Hey, we're doing something right. Yay. One of the next things that you have on there on your list is you can't protect them from everything. And I know when I was doing college ministry, it was interesting to me that preacher's kids, I had a harder time talking preacher's kids' parents into allowing them to do summer missions and going to distant places than I did a lot of other places. And so that's what comes to mind. Is there something else that comes to mind for you, Jackie, about protecting?
Yeah, I was thinking along the lines of spiritual protection. When I was finally ready to admit to my addiction to pornography, and I did it in front of the church, and I've been very open with it for a lot of people over the years, when I talked to mom about it, she had lots of questions of, how could I have stopped this from happening? Could I have put more restrictions on your computer time? Could I have taken away your phone? All these things. And we just have to remember that pastor's kids are held to that higher standard, but they're still going to find ways to fail. No matter what would have happened, how many barriers you and mom could have put around me, I was still going to find ways to get to that sin if it's what I wanted. And so you just have to not beat yourself up about the failings of your children.
Well, and I think that's probably probably more challenging than you think, because we care so much about our kids, and it's hard when we sit around and we watch other people make mistakes. And so we certainly have this sense of we want to protect you and keep you from doing it. And it can be hard. It can be a hard balance for us to come to grips with.
The next thing that you have on your list there, Jackie, I think is... You and I have had this conversation a lot. Our kids don't want to be a sermon prop all the time, right?
Yeah, that's a conversation that we've all had to have individually with Dad. My brother Zach got brought up to be the sacrificed son quite often, and he didn't want to have to do that every time. And Mom and I would look at you after you would tell a story about us. I'm like, why would you tell that to everybody? And so it's good to have images and allegories for your sermons, but they don't always have to be about your family.
But they're the best.
I should have wore steel-toed boots for this part. Yeah, it's true.
It's out of love, I promise. Yeah.
And because we've talked about this, I totally know what you mean. And And so I've had to think about this quite a bit. I guess watch out and put some boundaries on what I can and can't say. And one of the things that I try to do, it doesn't happen all the time, I'll guarantee, is that I try to ask permission ahead of time if I am going to talk about something with my kids or my wife.
And we do appreciate that. I suppose the big reason why, it's not because we don't want you telling anybody about us. It's because we live in what I like to call the holy fishbowl. People already know a lot about our lives. We don't want them to know everything.
Right.
We would still like to have our personal life separate.
A little bit of privacy would...
Just a little.
Very good. Oh, man. Well, the next thing on the list, Jackie, tell us about that.
Yeah, we want to make you guys proud. As your kids, we still want your approval. We still want to do right by you. So it's nice to be able to hear that now and then, that you are proud of us. Come to our events and cheer us on.
Oh, yeah. I think this is so important. And Alan, you mentioned about being able to coach your daughter and being able to be there and cheer her on. And that's important, right, for us to share those attaboys.
You know, and as our kids are all now older, you know, I mean, we're dealing with, let's see, the youngest of the four kids between us is a senior in college. And so as they're all older now, I think one of the things that is still there is that they still need to hear that, you know, and I think it's even more important today as they're young adults and trying to find their place in this world for them to understand that we are proud, proud of all they've been able to do and just proud of them and the people that they've become.
Well, and Jackie, that leads to the next point that you had written down. Tell us about what that means.
Yeah. Our last point is that your kids are proud of you. I wouldn't trade any of my life as a pastor's kid. I love seeing my dad get to minister to people and build things and reach out to the community. It's nice to be part of this. Even if it is hard, it's worth it. And we can feel that it's worth it.
That's good. And I think that's important for ministry parents to hear, is that your kids are on your side and they do appreciate what you're doing. And so be a team for Jesus in your family. And when your kids don't sacrifice them on the altar of trying to take care of everybody else's needs, I think that's so important.
You know, and I might add, you know, I mean, I think, you know, we have been blessed. We can certainly talk about some of our negative experiences in ministry, Trent, but by and large, you and I have been blessed. We've been in some really good churches and we've had some great avenues of support. And I know that there's some pretty toxic situations and that there are many pastors and their families that have paid a great deal for their ministry and for their service. But make sure whatever it is that you have to do, be on the same page together. Don't let the frustrations of ministry or the joys of ministry become so great that you lose that which is the greatest gift we get the privilege of being a part of, and that's raising our family.
And as part of that, and you guys give me your input on this too, but I think it's important not to talk badly about your church in front of your kids all the time. You know, yeah, there are some horrible situations and people have been beat up, sadly, by churches, but we don't want to give our kids the impression that the church is horrible. It is still God's tool and it's still His bride.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it is hard to hear about people being mean and rude and then have to go see them at church and be nice to them. And so it does help to cut down on that as much as possible.
Yeah, that is a great advice, Trent, and a great reminder. I mean, you can't shield all of it sometimes, but that is an area where as parents, we need to try to take the brunt of that upon ourselves. And that is a place where we need to do a job of protecting our family. Man, we could carry this conversation on for a long time, but our time is up. And we want to say, Jackie, thank you so much for being willing to get on here with us and share a little bit about your experiences as a pastor's kid and a few of your reflections. Thanks for the time you put into that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to be able to talk about it.
Well, and I know that, Jackie, you have a heart for other preachers and pastors and ministers' kids, and have a desire to bless them. And so thank you for doing this today with us so that we could be a blessing to hopefully lots of those kids.
Thank you for taking time with Trent and Alan today. Please share your email with us at enduringchurches.consulting so that we can let you know about our next podcast. Trent and Alan are also available to consult with you and your church. If you have found this podcast helpful, please let your friends know. Remember, churches that make a real difference are churches that last.